a very, very interesting public lecture happening very shortly. It's entitled New Drugs from Old Bugs. It is, in fact, this Thursday, 6 o'clock till 7 at the Newcastle Conservatorium. To talk to us about that, the gentleman that's putting it all together from the School of Environmental and Life Sciences at the University of Newcastle, it is Professor Brett Neal. Good morning, Brett. A very interesting title for this public lecture. What can we expect from this forum tomorrow night?
Hi, Mark. Yep, it's a great time. I should probably explain the title before anyone turns up and expects it to be a backyard drug production lesson.
We probably don't want people thinking that.
No, and it's definitely not about flies and mosquitoes. So drugs is, we're talking about pharmaceuticals, essentially antibiotics, immunosuppressants, and the source of those drugs being bacteria. So in my game, we call bacteria microbes, bugs.
Being very little.
Very small things, yeah.
So what can we expect some of the things that will be discussed at the forum tomorrow night?
I want to go on a bit of a walk through history, I think. When it's almost starting at the beginning of our planet and beginnings of life, because when life started, then basically that's when all these chemical compounds were first formed anyway. Life needed them to survive. When we look at antibacterials or antibiotics, they're actually compounds produced by bacteria to fight other bacteria. That's essentially what they're for. So, yes, I want to start right back at the beginnings of life and move through a few examples of how these bacteria, or these bugs, have associated themselves with different plants, associated themselves with different animals, including humans, and also about how humans, older cultures in the human race have actually used these bacteria for their drugs that they produce. And a classic example of that is the indigenous Australians using bark off trees that actually contain fungi, and those fungi producing drugs. So the Aboriginal was using it, using the bark, because it inhibited infections, but without knowing the actual chemical makeup of that bark.
They just through trial and error knew that this worked. So in that case, was it a case of eating it, boiling it, cooking it as a broth? How did that work?
Depending on what you needed it for. If you had an upset stomach, you'd make a tea out of it. If it was a burn on your arm, you'd just grab a bit of the bark off the tree, and these are typically eucalypts or sassafras type trees, then you just wrap that around your arm, and the fungus that lived under the bark itself would stop the infection spreading.
And if they couldn't find any beef jerky around, they would just eat it. Maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe not. So how are some of these new drugs working? And I guess there is a thought that we want to go, we've found this fascination with going back and looking at things that worked hundreds or thousands of years ago and saying, well, hang on, this stuff actually worked. Let's incorporate that into the now.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mark, because when you look at what we call traditional medicines, they've been, and you said the word, they've been trialed for tens of thousands of years in some cases, going back to Australian Aboriginal medicines, definitely in the case for 40,000 years. What we would say in the medical profession is you'd have to do a clinical trial. Any new drug, any new pharmaceutical that we discover has to go through a clinical trial that takes well over 10 years. And that's why it's so slow to get drugs to market. But part of these medicines that we're looking at now, trying to isolate the bioactive substance in these traditional medicines, as you said, they've been trialed. They've gone through their clinical trials. They're not toxic in any way, and they do have efficacy, so they're useful drugs. I guess our method of production, because a lot of these bugs in society, in the environment, actually grow very, very slowly, and that's one of the examples I'll talk about tonight, are these bacteria that create a rock, all right? And these are the origins. The best evidence of life on Earth we have are actual rocks, so fossils that are created by bacteria, and they're called stromatolites. And Australia has a fantastic examples of stromatolites, probably best in the world, with South Africa and Greenland as other places. But because the bacteria grow so slowly, we have to actually extract the DNA, the genes out of those bacteria, because the genes encode the production of all the drugs.
Okay.
So the drugs can be in the bacteria, but if you can't grow the bacteria, you can't use it.
Yeah. So it's kind of getting behind the science of all that and how that all works. But you will be talking in great depth about all of this. It is at the Newcastle Conservatorium, 6 to 7 tomorrow. Do we need to book? Can we come along? How can we make our appeals?
It's best if you get online and book. It's through the University of Newcastle's web pages. And but if you can't use a computer, then you'll still understand my talk, and I reckon you should just turn up. I've been encouraging all the high school science teachers to bring some of their students along, bring their bright kids along and ask many, many questions. But that doesn't exclude people like you, Mark, from turning up.
So you mentioned they're bright, they can use a computer, they can do all this stuff, but that doesn't include me. Okay. Yeah, many people say that. You've only known me for 5 minutes. Thank you very much, Brett. He'll be talking about that and a lot more tomorrow. It sounds like a very, very interesting public lecture. Get along if you can. 2NURFM 103.7.